Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio this morning is Ann Atkins of Flash History Press, LLC. Welcome, Ann. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I've had my coffee and ready to go.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, and we've had an opportunity to chat before the show, so I know that the folks are really going to enjoy sort of your pace and style. And I again wanted to ask you, you have this business name called Flash History Press, LLC, and before we get into the who you are, how did you, what's the story or the history behind that name for your business?
Thank you. Because I write biographies, but I wanted to separate and differentiate my biography from anybody else's, because most of the time they are academic, they're 800 pages, which is all wonderful, but my style is concise, and so Flash becomes that, encapsulates that word, Flash History. And on each side of it then are even lightning bolts. So there's a sense of power about the whole logo and the image of that. And, of course, it comes across concisely, which it needs to. If that's how I'm saying I am as a writer, then my logo needs to show that too.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
So that's the story behind it.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, again, and now I'm going to challenge you. In a flash way, share with us your significant story behind really what helped you become an entrepreneur, and then maybe more specifically an author. But give us a kind of a teaser, and then we can listen a little bit more to some of the background.
Thanks. Yeah. For just as the business and the author, it was a two-stage thing. Certainly, it was a matter of then seeing myself very differently. I had always seen myself and enjoyed, actually, the role of always being a support person. It was just, that was fine with me. I was actually really happy with that. But as I was growing and going through my own stages, you know, I started just wanting to have this more of a voice for seeing and meeting a cause, and that then had to be my own vision. And so to do that, I started as writing these biographies, because my background is as a counselor. And so I also then, the significance was to reach a broader audience. Like today, I'm on a radio, or I give a talk, and it's to an audience of 400, whereas if I'm just working as a counselor, you're always just working with one person at a time. So I had to see myself as reaching a larger audience, and I really wanted to do that, and so I had to, as they say, give yourself permission to do that. And so writing books reaches an audience all around the world, which these books do.
Wow. Reaching an audience around the world. Take us back to how you first kind of recognized that writing stories about women was what you wanted to do. And was there anything in your life experience that said, this is how I'm going to focus my writing?
I would always use historical people, just because I've always loved history and I've always loved stories, whether that's the themes and fairy tales, and they're just classic. And they're the struggles that we all go through. Well, this then, you know, weaves into my career as a counselor for years. And I would just use these stories and then historical people as examples to my clients to help them see where, no, you too can overcome these things. You too can move on and move forward. And you have these real examples of people, not just fairy tales. And so, but then to even further encourage them, or as I say, then reach a broader audience, there weren't books necessarily written with that purpose in mind. And so that's where the gradual dawning and aha happened. Well, Anne, I guess you better write these books. So that was the journey of that brainwave that then, and it started with Eleanor Roosevelt. I didn't have a plan on, ooh, let's make this a series. But then again, it just evolved to my next person, Golda Meir, and my next person, Marie Curie.
Ooh, okay. So tell us a little bit more about your first book. Lots of people want to write a book. Some people go ahead and write a book and then say, okay, it's a lot of work. And then you've written several books. But tell us about the selection for your first book and why that book was the one that you had to write first.
One, it was seeing things twofold. One, as an author, which is a style of being an artist because you're creating something. Two, on the business side of it, because of then Flash History is my publishing company, it's my business, that unless that product is going to be really, really good, it won't matter because you're not going to be able to sell it. And so it won't matter how much fun I have being an author. I want to sell books, not just write books. And so I'm writing that as a first book, not coming from a professional history background, but again, just as constantly keeping this theme of being relevant to people. And so it was, for this, it was courage to believe in myself enough that what I had to say about this was going to be important enough to other people, that they would see that. And so it's been very rewarding because it has happened. The books are literally all over the world. I've sold books in South Africa. I've sold books in Australia, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia has books in their library. This book in their library is like, are you kidding? How did that happen? But it does happen. And so that's why I would say as a business, it worked. And I would say for people listening to this, you believe in your product enough and it is relevant to people. You didn't just make up something and now hopefully there's a problem that you're solving. No, you saw a problem and your product is solving it. That, to me, is what makes it easy then to market it, and it markets itself.
Wow, okay. So now we're getting back into... Yes, because now we're getting into really some of the core of being in business and what drives successful marketing. And that's really cool to hear that from an author's perspective. I always love these conversations because you really get to hear what people are passionate about and what drives both the mission of what an entrepreneur does, in your case an author, and then the vision. So just talk to us a little bit more explicitly about your vision now that you have book three in terms of being a woman who has a career in social work to a woman who has taken some of the learnings from that profession and then become an author and a speaker and a person that's written three books. So what's driving the passion of who Anne is right now?
Because people are dying to have examples before them of authentic living, noble, authentic lives that are attainable. And Eleanor, Golda, and Marie each are that. And I understand that for myself and probably anybody listening, we are not going to be a First Lady of the United States. We are not going to be a Prime Minister. We are probably not going to win two Nobel Prizes in science, but we are going to live authentically in our own way. And so it was my job, and I feel I've succeeded in this because people tell me, they come up to me after reading the book, I get emails, or after giving a presentation, and they say, thank you, because it's like encouraged my own life. It's made me realize, no, I can do what I'm going to do. And so it gives them an example. It takes them down off a pedestal, and I'm not then ever disparaging of these people or their circumstances, the people I wrote about, but I want to make them real. I want to make their faults real, their struggles real, because when I do that, it tells any of us that are what we would call the common people, it makes me know, oh, okay, I can, I'm going to struggle too, or these are my things, but I can live my dream. Like for me, I'm living my dream to be an author and to sell books and be a speaker.
Mm-hmm. So, wow, really cool. Because I was wondering about that. You know, again, as you say, you know, a first lady, I might aspire to that, but will it really happen? And then in reading these stories, how do they relate to who I am and the struggles that I might have at this moment?
Right. And what I loved about what I loved about that then is that having that vision and thinking, no, I think this is what's needed. That's back when I was much more, like, say, insecure about my vision because it's at those beginning birthing stages. And now I would just say, yes, that's absolutely what I do. You know, when a woman comes up to me after a talk and says, you know, I needed to make a decision and I was just too afraid to. Now I know I can make that decision. And then she adds, though, Fran, she says, I'm still afraid, but I'm going to make the decision.
That sounds like the true sense of empowerment. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Dangerous.
And we just talked about Eleanor Roosevelt. This woman, trust me, is not going to be a first lady of the United States or be on the council of the UN. But by God, she's going to go and do her thing. And that's what I love.
That's really powerful. And share with me, maybe more specifically, and you did give one story, but what's another story of someone who, as a result of reading your book or hearing you speak, really said, you know, these books and the experience with you, Anne, as a mother, as an author, as a speaker, as someone that has worked in a field that helps people, that just makes them say, you know, I'm really glad I had this experience.
I would say the best compliment that where I know this is working is because now with having a third book and I go back to a lot of places where I've already been a speaker and so now I come back to talk about my next book. So that right there is a huge compliment that you're returning. But also now these are people that have already read, say, the Eleanor book or the Gold book, and now they're hearing about Marie and they buy the Marie book. But here's the point in all of that. It's not just they buy the book and now it's sitting on their shelf forever. I have all these people telling me, oh, I gave my book away because I wanted so-and-so to read it. They read that.
Wow.
That is the happiest thing I could ever hear because that's the purpose of the book is to tell the story, and now you're telling the story by sharing the book. Woohoo! That's like awesome. What I also love is, so what I also love is even yesterday when I went to go and talk about Marie Curie, a guy came up, and Marie's family was her father, and she's born in the middle of the 1800s. She's in Poland. Her father constantly supports Marie to just keep going on and go on, and that's how, you know, he supports her to go to the Sorbonne in Paris to finish her doctorates and stuff. So he never holds her back, which is hugely unusual for a man in the middle of the 1800s. And so I had this guy come up to me afterwards, And he had tears running down his face, and he said, thank you for saying this about the father. you know, that it's not just about Marie and she's some soul person, but it was her father that helped her. It was her father that supported her. And he said, because that's how I was with my daughters. And so it just made him feel good that it was an affirmation to him. So it's things like that, or it's things like when I was giving the Eleanor talk one time, and I was saying how she went to the Pacific during World War II to visit just all these places. She went on one trip that had 23 stops. Fran, I don't even like one layover, let alone with 23 stops. I mean, can you imagine? But so I'm telling this to this group, but it was the retirement community. A guy in the back, he's an elderly gentleman, raises his hand. I, of course, say, yes, sir. And he says, I was one of those stops. She stopped at my island when nobody else came to visit. He had, again, he had tears on his face. You know, he was a World War II vet. And he remembers seeing Eleanor on one of those stops. And it was just, to make history come alive for these people that it acknowledges in their life. Yeah. Or there's times, too, when I'm talking about these women and their struggles, and I see those women out in the audience, or I get notes from them and emails from them saying, thank you, because that is what happened to us. That was my struggle. That is what I went through. And they're so grateful that someone is finally authentically telling the story without it being mean-spirited, though. Let's just say the story. We're not there anymore. We have come a long way. But we at least want the story to be told and not whitewashed. And that's what I try and do. It is what I do. I don't try it. I do it.
Wow. And you have shared a lot about the fact that you've written three books. I'm sure at this point there are some folks who are like, okay, so how can I get in touch with Anne? How can I get my hands on these books? How can I love the energy that Anne's sharing. How can I maybe have her come and speak to our group? So really, in short, how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Yeah, I am always happy to hear from anybody interested in writing a book and how do you do that. And if you're going to self-publish, you know, what were some of the shortcuts to prevent you from wasting time and money? You can email me, call me. Anybody that wants me as a speaker, email me, call me. So my phone number is 610-764-3517. My email is ann@annatkins.com. So that's ANNATKINS.com. And my website then is annatkins.com. You can find me on Facebook, ann.atkins.author. Would also just friend me on Facebook. That would be delightful. So any of those ways, I'm happy to hear from people and to help them.
Yeah, in fact, we met in Philadelphia about a month or so ago at a celebration that was recognizing authors who had come to speak at a monthly book club. And I just found it interesting that there were so many local authors in the Philadelphia area and the diversity of topics that they spoke on. And I think one common theme is their stories in one way or another helped people in terms of personal development and professional development. And kind of igniting another person is a wonderful gift that you can do for others and give to others. And one of the questions I always like to ask is sort of how do you keep yourself motivated? What's that value system or quote that you have so that you can continue to empower yourself maybe when you're challenged? Because it's always like, kind of cool to hear what other people do.
Of course, having researched and written these three amazing, inspirational women, oh, my heavens, I have, you know, lots of examples going through my head all the time, anytime I get frustrated. So I'll give you a quote even from each of the ladies that happen to be my favorite. Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Hugely powerful quote. Golda Meir said, to be or not to be is not a question of compromise. So when I start to feel like, oh, maybe slack off a little bit in how, where I know, wait, you could write that paragraph better. No, no, you're going to either be an author or you're not, but it's not a question of compromise.
Mm.
For Marie Curie, and this again is an affirmation of knowing what I can bring to the public, then you've got to believe in that. And so Marie says, we must believe that we are gifted for something and that this thing, at whatever cost, must be attained. And so when I, you know, over the years of writing these three books, when I would get like, oh, my gosh, I'm still here, I'm still writing, and you don't, you know, it's like, no, at whatever cost, this must be attained. And so now I have the joy of looking on Amazon, and I see all three books listed, and it's like, yep, there I am. I've attained it. I've done it. And I have to still keep believing that, no, this has value, and it does. So those are my quotes that I stick by.
Wow. Oh, that's so exciting. Well, you know, I'm just compelled now to ask three books. I hear this energy. I hear the purpose. I've heard about your vision. What's next for Ann Atkins and Flash History Press, LLC?
Oh, that would be throughout this. I've also had a background project going on of writing a blog. And so, again, anyone could find that on my website. I have a blog that, again, reaches across generations, across economic scale, across cultural scale. It's about for your journey, because my tagline is life is a journey and you don't have a map. So this blog then nobody has a map. You look at any hero story, and that's the whole thing of the story, is you don't have a map. So these each of the posts then addresses the consecutive stages of the journey. It addresses the characters that are classic within a journey, the allies, the heroes, the tricksters. And so as a business person, I want to repurpose my writing and all the effort that I'm putting into that, because the blog is free and I don't mind giving that. It's a beautiful thing to provide people with this support. I get, again, emails. After I've posted a blog, I'll probably get 8 to 10 emails from people saying some measure of thank you where it's relevant to their life. Now, back to the business side, though, is to repurpose that, and I'm putting all of those posts then into a book. And this will be different than the biographies. It's a more like a gift book where it'll have the faux leather cover. It's like a journal because it's called For Your Journey. And so, you know, it's only going to be maybe 48 to 60 pages long, and each of the posts then will be in that with colored pictures. And it'll be a repeat book. It's a book you do hang on to because you read and reread it, because I could see from chimp mail that, oh, these people open these emails 8 times, 15 times because they're rereading.
Oh, my goodness.
Because this is not, this isn't chicken soup for the soul. This is like a kick in the butt, spicy, you know, get you going, make you think and reponder and reconsider just where are you at in your journey. And so it's brain food to chew on. So that's my next project as a writer that I'm working on.
And what did you say? It's brain food for the tour?
It's brain food for your soul. It's not
for your soul.
In the sense of, you know, we talk about the whole series of chicken soup for the soul, which
exactly.
is wonderful. It's all, you know, comfort food. But at some point, we don't want comfort food. We want something that we've got that makes us stop and question ourselves and reconsider and push us. And that's what this does, is because the journey is always about the journey within. We're not going to go anywhere unless you're willing to evaluate your own self, which again goes back to me as a counselor. That was always my job, is to help all of us, myself included, we better think about this, because a lot of the times the reason you're in the fix you are is you maybe need to think about something.
Wow. Very. I mean, again, this is why I love these conversations, because you get to see how people's backgrounds and passions and experiences influence what they do today, and that thread kind of always continues to weave itself in. And you've mentioned a few times sort of the background, and I'm paraphrasing because you haven't said this explicitly, but the background of how you organize the stories is to make it real and relatable. And also you reference sort of the hero's journey. In less than a minute, what's the framework? And I'm sure some of it comes from the counseling. What's the framework of the hero's journey? And why is it that when we read the hero's journey, why and how, I'm not sure which is the best question, do we relate to it? And then we get motivated by it to do something for ourselves? And I guess it's really a complex question, but I know you can handle it, so I'm just going to toss it out there because we're having a conversation.
Because the epitome of the hero's journey is when we have to face an ordeal. And right, wrong, or indifferent, whether we maybe created the ordeal or something just landed in our lap that blows up, you know. A teenager losing their parent, that's an ordeal, that they didn't do anything to deserve that. And it forces you, and within the ordeal, there's something in you that I'm telling you is going to die. And it's that rebirth then. And so with any of us, we can look at times in our life that we went through. It wasn't just a dark night of the soul. It can last for months. It can last for a year. And how are you going to come through it? And I can tell you those ordeals for everyone. Like for Eleanor, it's when she finds out that Franklin was having the affair. And she has to ask, the ordeal will, yes, the ordeal will force you to ask yourself then who am I? And if you can answer the who am I question, you're on your way. And if I can help people ask that of themselves, then I've done my job. And that's
wow.
me is my gratification, is ask yourself the who am I question in the midst of anything. And that answer then is you're on your way. So that's
what a wonderful way to start to close our conversation. I want to ask you again and share with people just really concisely, what's the best, sort of the two best ways to get in touch with you before we close out for this morning?
Sure. To find my books, they're all on Amazon as an ebook or paperback, or then to just contact me, my email, AnnAtkins.com, and that's AnnAtkins.com. Just send me an email or call me, 610-764-3517. Thanks.
Oh,
Thanks,
terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this has been fun. 20 minutes, very, very quickly and very exciting. And congratulations on completing your third book. Congratulations on just the energy and the way that you allow the readers to learn more about another very powerful woman and the way that they can then relate that to their own hero's journey and begin to ask that question of who am I in the face of challenges. We're about to close out. Thank you again, Anne, for your time. And thank you, listeners, for continuing to understand and learn about the entrepreneurs that are in our ecosystem and that are very significant. Have a great rest of the day and continue to listen to Significant Business Results Radio.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.
me to express this, but especially